You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, this is Ed Stetzer, and you're listening to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. This one is kind of I don't know quite how to describe the conversation we're going to have today, but let me introduce my guests, and we'll jump right in. Adam Mutasab is, he planted Redemption City Church in the city of Baltimore, and Adam and his wife, Sherry, have three sons, and Richard Pope is the pastor of Canvas Church in Salisbury, Maryland, church he planted in 2021. He's married to Peyton. And the reason we're going to talk, this is a strange conversation, is you can actually hear more of Richard's story on another podcast. Let me tell you the name of that podcast, which will kind of give away some of our conversation today. It is Terminal, the Dying Church Planter Podcast. And you can go to visit terminalchurchplanter.com for more information. So Richard, first to you. I mean, for people listening, that's quite a beginning of a conversation. Tell us a little bit about your story, what was going on in your life when you launched Canvas Church.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ed. Yeah, my wife and I were going through the Send Network process in November of 2020. We got assessed. We passed the assessment. Previously, I had battled with low-grade cancer twice. I had been a year in remission when I went through Send Network assessment. December of 2020, we're a few months out from launch. I'm told the cancer is back a week before Christmas. And then in February of 2021, 2 months from launch, we launched April 4th, Easter Sunday 2021. I have a procedure done because the cancer had started to spread. And in the post-op scans, they found that the cancer had rapidly multiplied across my body, affecting multiple different systems in my body. And they said there's no longer a plan forward to deal with the cancer. And they gave me a terminal diagnosis of 3 to 5 years. And that was about 2 months before we launched the church.
Wow. That certainly puts things into remarkable focus. I remember another church planner wrote a book about 10 years ago called 1 Month to Live, 30 Days to a No Regrets Life, Carrie and Chris Shook. You have now, in a sense, somebody's given you have this much time. Now again, we don't know what the Lord's going to do in the midst of that as well. But, I mean, you've done this entire podcast and kind of talking about some of these things. I'm interested, with the Terminal Podcast, again, let me remind people, they can go literally to terminalchurchplanter.com. If people go over there and listen to the podcast, what are they going to hear? What are they going to learn? What's it going to speak to them about?
Yeah, Tony, who is the producer, did an incredible job. You know, the story is not just about my cancer. Right. Ed, you know, we're all terminal. We all have a diagnosis of sin that is destroying our bodies, but we have the redemptive hope of the gospel. My symptom is cancer. People have different symptoms, whether that be, you know, a heart attack or old age. The podcast is not just about dying. It's really about living in light of the gospel. The scripture says, to number our days. And Tony said it best, I'm no hero. It took a terminal diagnosis for me to live the way I should for Jesus. So we'll hear hope and gospel and grace. You know, the gospel is that after death, there is life everlasting. And I think that's what the podcast really does a great job of sharing.
Well, I love that. And we're going to talk some about church planting and the difficulties that come from that. I don't know that there's a more personal difficulty than your own struggle receiving a terminal diagnosis and more. But I want to talk about all that. But Adam, you're also with us. We're so glad you're here again on the podcast. Adam's kind of a frequent guest and contributor. Adam, we all kind of face some challenges in life. Richard just sort of told us that. You know, his is particular and unique. But what about challenges you face when launching Redemption City Church? How have you walked through some of those hard things?
Sure. I mean, yeah, Richard's got the pinnacle of challenges. And he still went. He still went for it. So that's amazing. Regular life challenges. Church planting is hard in itself. Trying to grow from zero to self-sustainability is challenging. But on top of that, my mom was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, And right after we launched, we had to put her in a nursing home. Yeah. So just the weight of the logistics of that was a lot in the midst of trying to preach sermons and grow an organization and be a good husband and dad. So how I went through that is honestly, the number one advice I have for anyone who's planting is to go with a team, particularly another pastor. That way, when you go through personal challenges, you have someone else who can carry, you know, as like Moses had his arms up on the mountain in Exodus, I think it's chapter 16 or 17. He had Aaron holding his arms up. You need guys who are holding your arms up that you can be honest with, like, I can't do it today, or I need you to preach this week.
Yeah.
So that's number one advice. That's how I got through it, is having friends to plant with who help my arms.
Yeah, and I imagine that's going to be a key part of your own story too, Richard. I do wonder how people, and again, people can go to terminalchurchplanter.com and hear the full story, but how did you find support? And because you kept going on, which is a fascinating thing. I mean, some people would, I think probably most people would have said, you know what, I've got this diagnosis, this is going to be what I'm going to focus on. So you kept engaging in the church planning work. How did people come along and support you? But tell us first why you kept engaging in it, and then tell us about the support maybe you received.
Yeah, Ed. One, I kept going, you know, the exterior. I had really good friends and people who really loved me, who did a great job of caring for me. Interior, right? If God called me to plant a church, and we're talking about the sovereign God of creation, the God who hung stars and raises mountains. If that God who is sovereign and kind and good, I think of Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love and his kindness endures forever. If that God with that sovereign just love and kindness, if he called me to plant a church, he also knew I was going to get cancer. So I don't think that canceled it out. I think that God called me to plant a church knowing I'd have cancer. And I think that in his grand purpose, there's a reason for that. And that for me to back out on what God called me to do would be to dismiss his power and his grace and his love. So we did it because he knew it would happen.
Yeah, well, so talk about the support. Like, I'm interested too, like, how do you communicate this to your congregation? How has your congregation come alongside? What has their response been?
Yeah, it's been incredible. You know, our launch team back in February of 2021, there was only three or four people who were Christians before engaging with our pre-launch activities. Most of our launch team were new believers that we baptized. So they really didn't know how to respond at all. They weren't career Christians. You know, there wasn't a meal train set up immediately. They didn't get me a greeting card from the Christian bookstore. But what they did do is they just leaned into the gospel. You know, it was really powerful. I remember the day we told them, I just told them and said, hey, I don't know how long I'll be here, but if you want to do this, I'm going to do it with you guys. But if you don't want to do it, that's okay too. I'll never forget a guy who wasn't a super mature believer, new to the faith. They just gathered around Peyton and I and prayed. And this is the middle of COVID. We broke some rules. And he just prayed, God, please heal my pastor. And that was it. It was just this really raw, just genuine, just simple, like, gospel prayer. And then they lived that out. They loved us. They reach out to my wife. They care for us. We just told them maybe there was a better way, but I didn't know it. But they just did gospel stuff to the best of their ability. And it was really beautiful.
One of the things I like to say about church planting, because people don't think it through, I think, all the time, is successful church planting is a series of successfully resolved crises. And it's just, you know, they kind of, one happens. Adam, I'm kind of interested how you have walked through when you face some sort of difficulty. You know, you mentioned your own family, and we just, you know, Don and I, both our moms are widows in the last few months. So we relate to that and some of the, you know, memory challenges for older adults. So we're dealing with our aging parents. We feel that. But, you know, in the midst of some of those challenges, that's kind of when it's kind of easy to quit. You know, again, that's why it's successfully resolved crises, because there's always a crisis. There's always something that's fallen apart. So I guess the question for you, Adam, is how do you walk through difficult times, and how do you do you inform the congregation of some of those difficulties? I mean, Richard certainly has, but do you inform, when do you, when don't you? Just unpack that a little bit more.
Well, first thing I do to get through challenges is embrace strategic failure. There are seasons of life where, you know, the sun is shining and the clouds are gone and everything's great, and you can operate at high capacity and crush it in every area or close to it. But there are also seasons of life where you have to put your mom in a nursing home, or you get a diagnosis like Richard got, or your kids are really struggling, and you can't do everything well. You can't lead the hospitality ministry to excellence and make sure the worship team is crushing it and have a home run sermon. Some weeks are going to be singles. Some weeks are going to be bunt singles, as H.B. Charles would say. And being okay with God is still sovereign. He's still working when I can't crush it this week, because I need to make sure my mom has somewhere to be taken care of for her needs. So once I recognized that and got to a place of peace with that, like I don't have to crush it every time, it enabled me to rest a little bit, Sabbath a little bit more. And then on top of that, once you are at a mind frame where you're embracing strategic failure, living in a place where you are transparent about your weakness, where you can have people, like go to another pastor in your area, be a part of a network with other brothers, or I would really encourage someone in your church where you can honestly say, I can't do it this week. I need help. There was one week where I was crying to a brother pastor, and I said, like, I can't preach this week because of my stuff with my mom. And he was like, I got you. Don't worry about it. And that was a huge relief to me. And if I was trying to like feign strength, I would have collapsed. So,
Adam, helpful. And Richard, I sort of wonder what does it look like in your situation? It's such a, I mean, it's such a particular situation where you're relying on others. Where, I mean, you literally have a terminal diagnosis, where you're pouring it all out for the sake of a gospel that's there. Because one of the things that I always struggle with is how much do I, you know, share with the community? Because part of my reality is that, you know, my challenges aren't everyone's challenge in the church. So how do you, and I know, again, I want to remind people, go to terminalchurchplanner.com, but how do you do that? I'm literally just going to get off this interview and pray for you, but how do you do that?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, Ed, is just keeping the gospel present when you do. Obviously, for me, there was no way that I couldn't share my struggles. When we launched the church, I was still on chemo. They were hoping that it would slow it down. It didn't work. I'm way healthier off chemo than I was on it. But, you know, there were Sundays where I would get sick in a trash can on stage in the middle of a sermon. So I had to tell the church. I just think keeping the gospel center, we're called to be gospel people. We're saved by the gospel message, by a gospel king. You know, I think suffering gives us a weird opportunity to show grace and love and kindness and mercy. And I just think when you show and allow people into your suffering, keeping the gospel forefront, it really was a teaching moment for our church. Our people are incredibly graceful and incredibly kind. And I think it came from having to love me. So,
yeah. Wow, you are not wasting your cancer, to quote an article I read years ago. Yeah. And that's just so, I mean, it's such a powerful story. Again, go to terminalchurchplanner.com. How for both of you, maybe go to Adam first, you know, in the midst of crises and difficulties, you've got to have rhythms of rest, address issues of stress. And maybe you did it well, maybe you didn't. Adam, start with you. What did you do and what advice would you give looking back?
Take a Sabbath. 24-hour period where you're resting. It's pretty elementary. It's one of the Ten Commandments, but it's the only commandment we brag about breaking. And in America, it's normal to not rest.
But the only commandment we brag about breaking. That is a fascinating. That's going to be in a book I write in the future, and I may or may not cite you as the source. I'm going to have to see. But it's so true. So, and church planners, I mean, we sort of look for people who are mavericks and go-getters and self-starters, and then we're shocked and offended when they don't take Sabbath and things of that sort. So how, I mean, I agree with you, but to the personality type we are addressing, the people who are listening to this podcast, they might be of all the personality types the least likely to take a Sabbath. So how do you make that a pattern and a process in your life?
Well, it first starts with dependence and repentance, you think you can do more than what God says you can do in 7 days. What I mean by is God can do more in 6 days than you can do in seven. And he wants you to do six. So if you are not taking a Sabbath, that is a declaration of independence from God. That is a declaration. I don't need you, God. I don't need your way. You need me. And because I'd rather not do it your way. I'd rather do it my way. And you will actually find your mind will be refreshed. Your ideas will be better. Your talks will be sharper if you take a 24-hour period of break. The work is too important for you not to rest. Mm. So take a 24-hour Sabbath and vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Of course, vacation for church planters sometimes doesn't mean like a cruise. It means some time away. Maybe it's staying at some friend's house or something of that effect. But you can make that time to step away, to Sabbath, and then to divert for a longer season.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I personally found like, you know, a two-week vacation away a little bit unrealistic in the first few years. So I did more strategic retreats for like 5 days. Some with my family, some by myself. And that really got me refreshed for this next run of like a spring or a fall that I needed.
Yeah. So Richard, I imagine your situation is of course complicated by the fact that you're still fighting this cancer and more. So what does that look like for you? I mean, I wonder too, you know, do you just need 1 day a week or is there more rest that's required or is it full speed? Tell me about that.
Yeah, when we first launched, I was on chemo and I was sick all the time. The chemo wasn't touching it, so I'm off chemo now. And I have really good days. I mean, Adam and I work together in the region for Send Network. There's days where I'm like a normal person, and then I get a cold that lasts 3 weeks and I'm grumpy. But all that to be said, I was really, really bad at this, Ed. I sinned so much. You know, when we launched the church, I wasn't Sabbathing. I wasn't resting. I heard 3 to 5 years and thought that meant I had 3 to 5 years to do a thing for God. I forgot the fact that God was already doing a work and I was joining him in it. In 2022, I got so burnt out. We had another pastor at that time. I took 3 weeks off in the summer. And I came back so much sharper and stronger and better. And basically, we had a couple of elders in the church and my wife, they had an intervention with me and told me that if I didn't rest more, they were going to make me not work for the church. That's what it took. Since then, I've taken a weekly Sabbath diligently, aggressively. You know, I really do. I want to just echo what Adam said. God can do more in six than we can do in seven. And obedience and faithfulness to the Lord is always more fruitful than our way. So learn from me. Don't do it yourself. Listen to God. Obey the scripture. What a novel idea for a pastor. So.
Crazy talking. So Richard, just one last question for you. Because, you know, not everyone's listening to podcasts, though I encourage them to do that. And Adam's talked about some of his family, but tell us how your family's doing in the midst of all this.
Yeah, so a large part of my family, not Christian, didn't grow up in church. So it's been hard because for a lot of my family, they almost are more opposed to the gospel now because they're like, mm-hmm. Why would a God you serve do that to you? Right. But on the flip side, my sister-in-law got baptized. We've had family members come to faith in Christ. I just baptized my mom, a month ago. So, wow. It's given us a really awesome opportunity to share the gospel. My wife is such a rock star. She, serves in our church, Peyton. She teaches high school full time and she just, you know, there's hard days and bad days, but one thing I'll say about my wife is she has consistently pointed me to the goodness of the gospel in spite of, my wife is 10 times more spiritual and holy than me. So she's doing well, man. We're just believing what Jesus says. You know, Paul said that all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Even cancer, somehow this is going to work together for my sanctification and my holiness and the grace of Jesus's you know, work in my heart. So we're just believing that.
Well, let me just say thank you to both of you for joining us on the podcast today as well, Richard and Adam, both kind of helping us lean in on some of these questions. And, you know, in the New Churches podcast, we cover a wide array in the hundreds of episodes that we've done. I think that's the first time we talked about a story like this. I want to encourage you to go to terminalchurchplanter.com for more information for Richard's story and the podcast there as well. And thanks for listening to the newchurches.com podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.